Hello, this is Jason, and you're listening to the third episode of the Grace Station podcast. You can always find the latest episode of the podcast at thegracestation.com. You can also click from there to join us over on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, thegracestation.com. Today we're going to talk about the first six verses of the first chapter of the book of Colossians. Paul continues his introduction of his letter to the people at Colossae. And we have talked about what it means to be a saint, what it means to understand grace. We've understood faith. We've understood love. And we've understood about how all of those things play a role in for us to understand our identity and the love of Jesus and to understand more about what this Christianity thing is all about. One of the keys to understanding the book of Colossians as we read through it is that Paul is reminding them of the truth that they already knew. He presents it as, I'm coming in and filling in and reminding you of what you based your faith on to begin with. And that as he's doing that, he's encouraging them to continue to walk in the truth as they've received it. And you can imagine the bombardment of information that would have come against these early believers in Colossae. Christianity is a brand new faith. It's a brand new religion, so to speak, as we would call it. I hate that word religion, but you know what I mean. It's a brand new thought. You know, it's a radical concept of a resurrected man in Israel. It's very connected with Judaism, which was a monotheistic religion in the middle of all this polytheism, all these other Greek and Roman notions of truth and God and the understanding of the universe and the world. And into the middle of this comes the Apostle Paul and those men who followed after Christ with him, and they are sharing a way to God that they are promoting as the truth about God's answer for man's issues and problems and sin and brokenness. And his answer is the person of Jesus Christ. And it's a radical new concept. It's not a bunch of new rules. It's not a bunch of new regulations. It's a presentation of grace and truth that come through the person of Christ so that we can have an individual relationship with him, and that that individual relationship would connect us with other people, and that by connecting to those other people, we could worship him, we could experience him to the full, and we could share him with the rest of the world. And so Paul is reminding them of the truths that they heard, and he's encouraging them to keep on keeping on, to move forward with the truth about what they know about Jesus. In Colossians chapter 1 starts out like this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll remind you that Paul kind of steps up to the plate and just knocks one out as far as an introduction. He reminds them of the grace and the peace that comes from Jesus, that comes from our Father God. And then he begins to tell them that they are thankful for the faith and the love that they see in the people of Colossae. Watch this. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have for all of the saints. And I love how Paul is positive. He's upbeat. He comes in and he just congratulates them. He's thankful for them. He's supportive of them. It's a really powerful way to start off a letter. He reminds them of the deep truths of the love of God and how powerful that love has been to create faith in them, and how that faith has moved them to love one another and to love other believers, even believers that they had probably never met in person. And then he reminds them of the deep truth of hope, which is laid up for them in the heavens. I'll read that. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Now, that's a very awkward reading there in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, if we read it in our King James, only because the language change over the last 400-500 years for us in English. It kind of runs those words together. So I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation, which that faith, hope, and love which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. See how much that kind of clears it up? And then I'll read it in one more, the Holman Christian Standard. Because of the hope reserved for you in heaven, you have already heard about this hope in the message of truth, the gospel. And I think that verse really, that translation really captures the essence of this. When we think about the word hope, sometimes we think of it in terms of like, boy, I hope we win the ball game, or boy, I hope. You know, everybody's kind of playing this lottery right now. I was watching some guys play the lottery, and it's like over $1 billion to be won. And someone had a ticket, and they were saying, I hope I win. Well, that's not what the Bible means when it says hope. In this particular passage, what that word hope means is it means a confident expectation. If I set the temperature gauge in our house to 70 degrees on our heater and I turn it on, and I go out, even if it's really cold outside and I work all day outside in the yard, or I go off and I come back, I have a confident expectation, a hope that when I open that back door and I walk in, our home is going to be nice and toasty at 70 degrees. And so all day long, I'm thinking about the hope that I have laid up for me in my house. I know that when I walk in, it's going to be 70 degrees. And so the people of Colossae knew that they had a hope, a confident expectation that was stored up for them in heaven, that this life had meaning as well as the next life having meaning. I hate to use the word next life because it's the same life. How do I want to say that better? You could see how sometimes when we think of things, we can still, even years after learning about it, think about it in human terms, that my day-to-day life is connected to my eternal life, and my eternal life is connected to my day-to-day life. Now, I love that word heaven there. Sometimes we get this kind of false notion of heaven, and we won't go into all of that today, but I will say that that word has various meanings and is used in various ways, especially in the New Testament and the Old Testament, to be frank, and that word could actually be probably better understood as we have an expectant hope laid up in the one of heaven, or in the God of heaven, or in the place of heaven where God is. And the idea there is that our hope is secure, not because it's off in some magic land called heaven, but because our hope, our expectation of life is laid up with God himself, that he's protecting us. And that this was a truth that they believed from the very beginning of the presentation of the gospel. I love that the idea that when they first heard the news about Jesus, and that's all the gospel is, and I use the word all cautiously, that's everything the gospel is the message about Jesus, that when they heard that he had borne their sins, that he had died on a cross, that he had been buried, that he rose from the dead, that he had ascended to heaven, etc., etc., all the truth about Christ and that he loved them, they trusted it, and that was part of the presentation of truth that they heard at the very beginning. This was not some add-on thing. That their security was part of the message of the gospel. That their safety, that the protective truth and love of God had wrapped itself around them from the very beginning of their association with this faith. They were not on precarious terms with God. God wasn't looking for technicalities to get rid of them, that he wasn't qualifying a few and disqualifying the majority. He wasn't looking for ways to measure these against those. No, when they heard the message of truth, it was that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and that he loves you, and that he wants you to have new life and forgiveness and righteousness, right standing with God, and that this will always be secure. That if you trust it, this will be a security and a reality for you. And so their hope was built on that security. You know, it's very difficult to trust in something that's not secure, that's not secured. You know, it's like, you know, the difference between a bridge that's laid with steel and concrete and one that's built out of twigs and mud. You know, I can think about going across one and I can trust going up past the other. And I'll let you figure out which one that would be. But the reality is that we want to have an expectant hope. We want to see a security out there. In other words, if I'm going to trust someone with my life and my eternity, I want it to be someone who cares about my life and cares about my eternity. And that's God my Father. And I think about it this way. No one is more interested in my future than God himself. And I don't say that in some kind of narcissistic, self-centered way. I say it in, it's the real truth about who God is. That God is more interested about my future and my life than I could ever be. That he has more invested in my life and my future than anyone else. That he has given himself to purchase me unto himself. And it's just such a freeing thing to know how amazing his love is, at the same time understanding that love is always true. That God doesn't treat me one way on Monday and treat me another way on Tuesday. That I have a fixed expectation of the nature of our relationship, secure and safe with him forever. And Paul is reminding us of that God doesn't move left or right based on the whims of, you know, fill in the blank. It says this in verse 6, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And so he's just reinforcing the reality that from the very beginning they heard the word grace. And he actually, the word of grace. And I love that these words, truth and grace and gospel and of God, are all kind of put together. In other words, they're almost used as synonyms. When he speaks of God's grace and God's truth and coming from God and the gospel, he's using them back and forth. The language is just kind of so put together that he's not saying, you heard a message about grace. He's saying you heard a message that was grace. And you heard grace. You didn't hear grace that was a message, but you heard grace, which is the message. You didn't hear truth that was a message. You heard truth that was the message. You didn't hear just truth that was about grace, but you heard truth that was grace. See, the key component about grace is that it is truth. It is that word that we get. You've heard the word aletheia, probably. And that was a Greek idea. It came from their pantheon of gods, their kind of understanding, the personification of that which is fixed and knowable and absolute. And so Paul takes this term, which they would have been familiar with, a term that in their own storytelling, they would have seen, hey, there are times when the idea of truth shifts and changes, and Paul takes a concept that was merely a concept and he puts it into the person of Jesus. And he says, if you want to see what real truth is, it's Jesus. If you want to see what real grace is, it's Jesus. If you want to know what the real information that you need to know is, the gospel, it's Jesus. See, as Paul is writing here, he is using a lot of wordplay that we probably 2,000 years later, we kind of miss. But we do need to understand that what he is saying is that your faith and your love, they are solidified and they are lived out because of the solid nature of the relationship that you have with God, that is your expectant hope of the safety and security that you have with the Father. That's fixed and settled and set. You know, it's like when we go to build anything, you know, you lay that foundation first. And you take time to lay that foundation, because that foundation is going to dictate the safety and security and the functionality of everything else that's built on it. And so what Paul is reminding them is, hey, I'm going to be talking about some things that are pretty deep here as we get into the book of Colossians. You know, as we start down this road of me informing you about some things that are happening and some things that are going to happen and some challenges and some things you might want to analyze about your life. But I want you to start out where you start out is an awesome foundation, a foundational principle that you're safe and secure. We can talk. This isn't a relationship that's going to shift and move and change on you based on your success or fail rate. It's going to be here, you know. It's going to be here. One of the coolest things that I can think of, we went to when I was a little younger, we went, where did we go? We went to the beach, and you know how you, when you go to the beach, and this is even a parable that Jesus uses, some teaching in the New Testament, but you go to the beach, and you can take all the sands you want, and you can build all the sandcastle you want, you can build, you know, all that kind of stuff, and then when you go inside, and if you come out the next morning after a tide or two that come in or come out, it's all gone. You know, you could work for hours building a sandcastle, and that water has come in, and there's just no evidence that it was even there. And what Jesus reminds the disciples, and what I believe Paul is trying to get around to here in his introduction, is everything you believe is settled on a foundation, okay? And that foundation is not, it's not poured by us. It's not that somehow I establish it. It establishes me. that foundation is Christ. That truth is Christ. And so whenever they heard that truth, they looked at that truth. And remember what faith is? Faith is the full persuasion of the heart based on all evidence. It is, it, you know, Paul does not present this as some wishy-washy, emotional, you know, we have these in our modern churches and even in, you know, churches 100 years ago, this kind of emotion-driven conversion stuff. Somebody gets up and tells us a sad story and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that can kind of, you know how emotions work, up one day, down the other. Paul doesn't do that. Paul comes in and he presents truth about a Savior on a cross and a burial and a resurrection and a defeat of sin and death and hell and the grave and a removal of condemnation and a restoration of relationship between God and his children. And as he's presenting this, Paul doesn't hide this at the end. He doesn't come around and tell the super Christians. He doesn't come around and tell just the select few good ones. He tells them all, that thing that you heard at the beginning, that you placed your faith in, I'm thankful for it because I see the results of it. The most faithful people I know, the people that continue to live out their hope and their faith and their love, are people who understand the safety and security that they have. I did not say the most religious people, and I did not say the most successful quote-unquote church people. I'm talking about people who exhibit faith and love are people who understand that the most important reality is their relationship with Jesus Christ, that relationship is the foundation upon which all other relationships and ministry and life grow. Man, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I was blessed to talk, and I hope you were blessed in the listening. If you want to connect with me, you can do so by going to thegracestation.com. You can leave a comment. You can go to the Facebook page or the Twitter page. If you live in the Vidalia area, we'd love to have you join us. JourneyChurchGA.com is the website. You can also find our Facebook and our Twitter there. My name is Jason, and I hope you have a blessed and awesome week. I'll see you Thursday.